आई रियलाइज दैट एसबीआई की 200 साल पुरानी कहानी है जो लोगों को पता ही नहीं. पीपल थिंक दैट एसबीआई वाज फॉर्मड इन 1955, सो इट्स अ 56 ईयर ओल्ड बैंक. बट देन व्हेन आई लुक बैक, द ओरिजिन गोज टू 200 इयर्स, एक्चुअली 1806 टू बी प्रिसाइज, सो ऑलमोस्ट 216 इयर्स, व्हिच इज अ नॉट मेनी कंपनीज इन इंडिया कैन ट्रेस देयर लीनिएज टू टू सेंचुरीज. रिमेंबर 1806 व्हेन आई एम सेइंग इज 50 years before the first war of independence, 1857 में हुआ.
Right, 1857.
तो उसके 50 साल पहले ये बैंक शुरू हुआ है as Bank of Bengal. So that is the beginning of SBI.
So hello Vikrant sir, welcome back on the show. So sir, firstly हम ये episode start करें उसके पहले I have to say now you have become the Awara Musafir Show's all star you know guest, because this is third episode we are recording I think so, and there will be many more recordings इसके बाद भी. This time we are talking about the SBI story. So firstly sir, welcome on the show. उसके बाद हम बात करते हैं.
My pleasure, Jayesh. It's always a pleasure to be with you, and I enjoy the conversation. So I look forward to that.
Awesome, sir. So like this is one of the most different episode जो हम करने वाले हैं, because firstly banking, this is the first episode जो banking के ऊपर हम कर रहे हैं, and उसमें भी SBI का story. So firstly मुझे तो ये जान के हैरानी हुई कि this bank has started so many years back and इतना लंबा history है. So sir, why a book on SBI?
So, you know, actually what happened was ki I saw an article in a newspaper which talked in glowing terms about a museum of SBI in Kolkata. I never knew ki SBI ka koi ek museum hai, and that SBI has such fascinating history. So I actually went to Calcutta and maine jab wo museum dekha, I was very amazed that the museum reminds you of a European museum. The way the lighting, the way it is displayed, the artifacts, it's absolutely beautifully kept, and it's like, I would say it's one of Calcutta's, best known secret, I mean, least known secret. People don't know about it. Okay. Those people who are in Calcutta should actually visit the SBI Museum. They'll be amazed at the kind of work you have from, the ledgers, the initial bank accounts of stalwarts. And British tradition, one of the great things about British tradition was that they used to meticulously maintain all documents. So you have board minute meeting ki minutes right from 1800. They have maintained that. And I was helped, I should mention here, that Professor Amiya Kumar Bagchi of Calcutta and Abhik Rai, who used to work in the history department, they have done phenomenal work over the last 30-40 years in terms of documenting SBI's history. So for me, it became very kind of easy that I had access to a lot of material, and SBI was kind enough to give me permission to say that you have access to the archives and all the material written by Professor Bhakti and Abhik Rai. And that became, I realized that SBI ki 200 saal purani kahani hai, jo logon ko pata hi nahi. People think that SBI was formed in 1955, so it's a 56 year old bank. But then when I look back, the origin goes to 200 years. Actually, 1806 to be precise, so almost 216 years, which is not many companies in India can trace their lineage to two centuries. Yeah. Remember, 1806, when I'm saying, is 50 years before the first war of independence, 1857 mein hua.
Right, 1857.
Toh uske 50 saal pehle, ये बैंक शुरू हुआ है एज बैंक ऑफ बंगाल. सो दैट इज द बिगनिंग ऑफ एसबीआई.
राइट. सो बैंक ऑफ बंगाल एज इन द प्रेसिडेंसी बैंक्स जो उस टाइम पे आप जैसे कह रहे थे वो वाले बैंक्स.
यस. सो बैंक ऑफ बंगाल वाज द सो ड्यूरिंग द ईस्ट इंडिया कंपनी टाइम. सो ईस्ट इंडिया कंपनी कंटिन्यूड टिल 1857. 1857 की जो फर्स्ट वॉर ऑफ इंडिपेंडेंस हुई तो उसके बाद इंडिया बिकेम फॉर्मली अ पार्ट ऑफ द ब्रिटिश एम्पायर.
Right.
And then the British government took over. और उसके पहले वो East India Company चला रही थी. It was a company, but the company had its own armies. So they had broken up India into three presidencies: the Bombay Presidency, the Madras Presidency, and the Calcutta Presidency. These were the three presidencies. And there were a few banks here and there. There was one mention of a bank called Bank of Hindustan in 1770.
Oh wow!
But But there was no real bank till the Bank of Bengal was formed in 1806. And they realized ki jab aapko India se paisa transfer karna hai, so you need some sort of a formal agency through which you can do that. You can collect money, you can deposit money, and you can transfer money to, you know, the East India Company was doing its own business. At the same time, a lot of officers of the East India Company were also engaged in their own businesses.
Right.
On their own, on the side, they're doing trading. They are partners in trading firms. Bahut paise kama rahe hain aur sara paisa repatriate ho raha hai England. And the Bank of Bengal was the first bank to be established in Calcutta as a presidency bank.
Got it.
So it was not a government, it was not an East India Company owned bank, but it was supported a lot by East India Company. And hence the East India Company had a lot of say in it.
Okay.
And that's the way it started as what is called as a joint stock banking.
Okay.
And so this was the first bank in Calcutta, because that time Calcutta was also sort of the default capital, right? Because the East India Company was headquartered there. Right. Even in the British Empire, it continued for a long while. Yeah. Till in the early 20th century, they moved to Delhi. They shifted the capital to Delhi. Till then, Calcutta was the biggest. So that's the beginning of the story of the presidency banks.
So, as I said, this is very shocking to know that this is a 200-year-old bank. And people, whenever this episode comes out and they get to know that it is a 200-year-old bank, they'll be shocked. Because किसी को पता ही नहीं था. एंड एज यू सेड कि देयर इज अ म्यूजियम फॉर इट इन कोलकाता, जो आई थिंक सो आई हैव अ लॉट ऑफ फ्रेंड्स इन कोलकाता एंड आई हैव नेवर हर्ड फ्रॉम देम कि देयर इज अ म्यूजियम रिगार्डिंग एसबीआई. सो दैट वाज समथिंग वेरी न्यू फॉर मी. तो लाइक कैन वी डाइव इनटू दिस पार्ट ऑफ द बैंकिंग सिस्टम वेयर एज यू सेड कि उस टाइम पे प्रेसिडेंसी बैंक्स एंड वहां से एसबीआई की भी शुरुआत होती है. So what kind of banking system us time pe present tha? Like what kind of borrowers were there? Who were some famous borrowers who took money from this bank?
So I'll go a little before that. You know, ki India mein, there were a lot of money lenders. And if you look at the, let's go back not too much into the past, but let's say the Mughal period. So the Mughals emperors would mint their own coins.
Yeah.
Which would be considered as, you know, legal tender. कि आपने वो अशरफी दी या सोने की मुद्रा, gold coin. And those would be treated as legal tender, which would be then traded across the country. So you would have, but at the same time, there would be a lot of these intermediaries who would act as, you know, कि वो coin का value, दाम क्या चल रहा है, because gold के prices change हो रहे हैं. So there will be this lot of intermediaries who would act as exchange merchants,
right?
Or exchanging, and you are going from one domain, you are going from north to south. वहाँ पे कोई और tender चल रहा है. So these people would act as exchangers. You know, during Aurangzeb's time, there were people like Jagat Sheth of who was in Bihar, who was such a big money lender that, you know, he was a big official in the Mughal court, and he was lending to the emperor. There was one Virji Vora in Surat. जिसने सूरत में, सूरत हैड बिकम अ बिग पोर्ट बिकॉज़ ईस्ट इंडिया कंपनी हैज टू डू लॉट ऑफ ट्रेडिंग थ्रू दैट, एंड ही वाज अ बिग मनी लेंडर. ही इज लेंडिंग टू द पेशवाज, ही इज लेंडिंग टू द मुगल्स. एंड देयर वाज अ फेमस केस वेयर दिस मिर्जी वोरा रिफ्यूज्ड टू गिव अ लोन टू शाहजहां, सेइंग दैट, यू नो, आई डोंट वांट टू गिव अ लोन वेयर देयर कुड बी सम डिफॉल्ट. सो देयर वाज दिस बिग मनी, व्हाट पीपल यूज्ड टू कॉल देम एज मर्चेंट प्रिंसेस.
Okay.
Which existed. But when the East India Company started becoming more and more powerful, and especially around the turn of the 19th century, the Peshwas had almost become, neutral. I mean, they were no more a power.
They phased out. Yeah.
They phased out. The Sindhias had become part of the, they had accepted the sovereignty of the British, the Gaikwads. So there was no real power. So East India Company is now becoming more and more powerful. And by 1820, they were by far the most powerful force in the country. So the need for a banking arose because people realized that they needed some sort of a formal way by which they could transact. And which way the Bank of Bengal came in, and they started giving loans to a lot of people. But surprisingly, you find in SBI Museum in Kolkata, there is a 20-foot statue of Prince Dwarkanath Tagore.
Okay.
Rabindranath Tagore's grandfather.
Yeah.
Who was great grandfather, who was a one of the first borrowers of East India Company, and mind you, the Tagores were very, very good businessmen. They had ships, they had large plantations. With the Britishers, the Dwarkanath Tagore had joined to form a very famous company called the Carr Tagore and Company, C-A-R-R, Carr Tagore and Company. So they were doing fantastic business. And even today in the SBI Museum, you'll find books of accounts where you see mention of people like Dwarkanath Tagore, who were borrowers from the bank, who had accounts at the bank. So a lot of famous people. Soon the Presidency Bank, Jayesh, and you'll realize that Calcutta was big, but the rise of the Parsis in Bombay was to happen very soon. And one of the reasons the Parsis rose was cotton trading. Jo British, the American Civil War hua, to us samay the cotton supply in UK for Manchester and all those mills was in almost stopped. And which is where the Indian cotton traders really picked up, and the Parsis took that opportunity to start exporting cotton to England, and they made a lot of money. So the Bank of Bombay came up in 1940, and soon a few years later, the Bank of Madras also came up. Because these are the three large presidency banks. But the difference between the three was very surprising. You will see that Calcutta was a mix of Indian traders and Britishers. Madras was very largely run by Britishers. While in Bombay, a large part of the business was being run by Parsis and Marwanis and Gujarati merchants. And Bank of Bombay became very, very powerful. And the three banks soon were competing with each other and were managing a large part of the business in India.
Okay. So, sir, you mentioned that this was like a 200 years old story. There was a bank called Bank of Hindustan. And then in the book also, you have mentioned ki Vedic age mein bhi ek banking system tha. And also, I last time when we recorded the previous episode on Maratha Kingdom. So after that, I read this book by Uday Kulkarni, sir, which was about the Bakhar of Panipat. And even in that, it is mentioned ki Sadashiv Rao Bhau went for that campaign. So on the way, he was taking a lot of loans. He was given checks by the Peshwa. So can you talk a little more about ki us time pe banking system exactly kaisa hota tha? Because this is a very interesting aspect, because today in the modern age, we see the banking system, we see ki modern tarike se kis tarah se hota hai and all the scams we know about. But in the you know, era gone before, it is a very I should say different thing. When I think about it ki us time pe banking kaisa hota tha, to could you talk about that?
So again, Jayesh, one of the oldest businesses in the world is banking. And very surprisingly, you know, banking does only three parts, which has not really changed much. You borrow money from people, you lend money to people, and you facilitate transaction. You know, basically, if you look at a bank, this is what it does. Now, the part of printing money has always been with the central power. So when you're in the Mughal time, or when you are some of the other kings in India, they used to print their, they were not printing money, they used to come out with coins. So you would have a copper coin, you'll have a silver coin, or you'll have a gold coin. You know, to uske alag alag wahi se wo aaye hain ki ek kodi ke daam mein, because cowrie shells were also at one point used as money to transact. So ek kodi phuti kodi ka bhi daam nahi milega, that is the way we say. So, dambdi ke barabar. So, dambdi was also part of the, you know, copper coin. Uski particular value thi compared to the gold coin. So, the, just like RBI in India today prints notes, the Mughal treasury or the treasury of any king would respond, they would have mint. In the mint, they would create their own, mint their own coins. So, Hareka emperor will put his name, or he'll put some image or some slogan on the coin, which would then be accepted as legal tender. Nobody else is allowed to mint. But you always needed people in between who would do the exchange trading, because the rates would keep changing. So there are two kinds of people who existed, which is the so-called banking system. One was the exchange traders, and the other would be pure money lenders.
Okay.
And the when I mentioned people like Jagat Seth or Vinji Vora or some of the people from whom the Peshwas took money, they were pure money lenders who were big because either they had money because they were holding large tracts of land from where they were collecting revenue, or they had other businesses through which they had generated a lot of cash. And they were then using that to lend it for, you know, and if you look at the history of bank, again, it would be surprising that the Bank of England also came about because it wanted to finance war for the Britisher. So a lot of Rothschilds, if you look at globally, which is considered the oldest banking family in the world, it's a 500-600 years, again, has made a lot of fortunes on wars. So wars have, you know, very surprisingly helped a lot of businesses. One of them is banking.
Okay.
So even during the Peshwa's time, people are borrowing money, the kings are borrowing money, they are in default, they're not able to pay back, they again. So a lot of these things were happening. The formal banking system had not evolved where here, when you look at some of these banks, they are more like a private ownership. The concept of limited liability came about much later on, where you're issuing a share, you have a, the concept of a limited liability did not exist of a company till the Companies Act was formed. That did not exist. So it was a 100% liability. The bank, if some borrower defaults, the bank would go bust.
Right.
And that's the way it began till the East India Company and other, and at that same point in time, other banks also globally were emerging. So India was not behind. It was at the same time in the early 19th century that other banks are also being formed. And then this continued for almost, you know, till 1920, that the three presidency banks continued in their own form. Till the British Empire then decided to convert these private banks into a British Empire-owned Imperial Bank of India. And the Imperial Bank of India was performing the function of a bank and also kind of a reserve bank. And after which the reserve bank was formed later on. But
so Imperial Bank of India is 1921, right?
1921.
Okay. And like after that, what happens? Like how does the story continue?
So now the Imperial Bank of India is formed. They are the British-owned bank, the government-owned bank, and it's doing business. India becomes independent in 1947.
Yeah.
There is a lot of clamor now that we need, RBI is already there. So the division of work between RBI, the Reserve Bank of India and Imperial Bank is clear that Imperial Bank is a bank which is giving loans and collecting deposits, while the Reserve Bank of India would print currency, will be responsible for monetary policies and things like that. Now, obviously, after 1947, there's a lot of clamor that we need a state bank. Not like a state bank of India, but a state bank, a state-owned, a government-owned bank. Because the Imperial Bank is now a private bank. It's a private bank. We need a state-owned bank. And it took some while. So, the SBI was formed in 55, which was almost 8 years after the independence.
Right.
Now, again, there were a lot of views on that. So, J.R.D. Tata famously was against it because he had already suffered having lost Tata Airlines to the government. Tata Airlines ko le liya ho, Air India bana diya. JRT was very upset. And his view was that why do you want to privatize a bank which is doing its own business, which is doing well? Why don't you create a bank? And I think the nationalization, the fervor of nationalization, the socialist approach of Nehru at that time was very strong. And eventually it was decided that the Imperial Bank of India would be nationalized and would be renamed as the State Bank of India. Right. Now, you know, if you look at the number of bank branches then, were very, very few. It's a few hundred bank branches in India for a size of a country like India, which requires thousands and thousands of branches. Even today, Jayesh, it is very surprising that after 70 years, there is a lot of underbanked population in India.
Oh.
There are millions of people even today. It is after the recent, Prime Minister's the many millions have got added to the banking system, but the formal banking system in India, even today, after so many banks, there are still millions of people who are not covered. So you can imagine it is today, it is still very bad.
Okay.
So there was a lot of need you can imagine in 75 years back, there was a lot of need that we need to have a bank which is willing to go out and create a banking network which is going to help agriculturalists, small enterprises, traders, common man on the street, jinko ek banking ki suvidha chahiye. You know, in the you will be surprised to know that in the Imperial Bank days, a current account khulne ke liye 500 rupaye aapko bank mein jama karne padte. Matlab us samay 1920s mein shayad logon ki salary mahine ki 20 25 40 rupaye hogi,
right?
Aur us samay aapko 500 rupaye jama karne hai aapko agar current account khol le. But it was very so from the classes to the masses was the main thrust of the government that we need to provide banking becomes a backbone for a country to grow, for the economy to grow. And if I don't provide credit, if I don't provide a way by which people can save their money, how does the economy grow? So the State Bank was formed with a very clear purpose that we need to go out, and State Bank has played a phenomenal role in the development of the Indian economy itself.
Absolutely.
So a socialist angle jo tha us samay, where oil companies came about, steel companies, coal mining companies, a lot of public sector organizations got created.
Yeah.
SBI was one of them. 1956, the LIC was formed. 256 private insurance companies were merged to form with the LIC Act. They formed the Life Insurance Corporation.
Right.
So even LIC was formed like that.
So because now you have read the whole history of SBI, you have written a book on it. In the hindsight, according to you, it was a right decision, right? Because when we clearly look at the political picture today, so Nehru is someone who gets bashed a lot because of his decisions in the past. But according to you, in the hindsight, the study that you have done, it was a right decision.
I think as far as SBI, Nehru gets criticized for a lot of his other decisions. Yeah. I think when you look at the situation of India and its economy and the underbanked, 95% of the or more of the population underbanked, there's a very clear need that something like a state bank was a big need. And there was, and SBI was given a mandate to open so many branches. And the only way it could happen is by going out and giving a government supported, government owned bank. Right. Let me give you an example. Another example, Jayesh. It is very surprising that people talk about privatization of banks and private banks in India. And a few years back, around 20, 25 years back, the government had given a lot of licenses to people. There many banks had come up: Times Bank, Global Trust Bank, ING Bank, Vaishya Bank. But if you look at it today, you can count on there are four banks: ICICI Bank, HDFC Bank, Axis Bank, and Kotak Bank, Kotak Mahindra, are the only four banks which come to your mind in private banking sector.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
despite the fact that the government had allowed a lot of private banks, it is banking, while it looks very simplistic that I'm collecting money, I'm giving loans, I'm doing transactions. Very simple job. But people have not succeeded. So banking has not been something where we open up to the private sector. You find that people, the other private companies, like if you look at the IT industry or some many other businesses, the private sector has overtaken public sector and done phenomenally well.
Right.
But here, you find that even today, SBI continues to be by far the largest. SBI has got 24,000 plus branches. I think HDFC or ICICI probably has 5,000 or 6,000 branches. So, this is such a big gap. Yeah. And of course, there's a government mandate, so SBI would do a lot of things which private banks may not do. But it is not that what SBI is able to do, other banks, despite opening up and 100% private participation, other banks have done, many banks have done well. There are a few only, in fact, I mentioned four have done well. So even today, the scenario is not very different.
Right. So, firstly, there are two, three things which I want to ask you here. You mentioned that SBI has played a role in the growth of the Indian economy. It has been the backbone. So I want to dive into that conversation. And also I want to know from you that you also mentioned ki private banks ko permission mili hai, but they could not do as much as SBI has done. So what is the reason behind that as well?
So to answer your first question, SBI was given a mandate. So agriculture lending, for example, was a big thrust for SBI.
Yeah.
So that time organizations like NABARD got created where, SBI is to lend to these banks would further lend to the agriculture sector. They would directly go, and each branch manager was given a mandate as to how they should actually help the local artisans, local traders, small loans for MSME manufacturing. So there was a very clear mandate in terms of helping the economy at a very, very, at a grassroots level, while at the same time, SBI would obviously at that time be a big lender for many of the large businesses which are coming up in India. But the mandate was very clearly to grow the economy from the bottom. Like today we talk about CSR, you know, corporate social responsibility has become a buzzword. Yeah. SBI was helping giving jobs or giving loans to people like ex-convicts. You know, I'm in jail, se agar bahar aata hun, so nobody wants to touch me.
Yeah.
SBI would give loans to these people. They would give people to the downtrodden. They would give people loans to, you know, cobblers, to scheduled caste, which was the, you know, not many people are willing to come forward and help these people.
Yeah.
SBI would go and help in corporate social responsibility. They would, you know, for example, SBI would give paid leave to its employees. कि वो सुनामी आया या साइक्लोन आया तो आप जाके मतलब इस तरह की चीजें SBI was doing as a part, not because of its profit making approach, but because it also wants to help the, so today CSR has become
basically like bank of आम आदमी.
बिल्कुल. So जैसे आरके तलवार ने कहा, उनका जो चेयरमैन बड़े one of the best chairman SBI had, कि it is for the biggest bank for the smallest man.
Wow.
And that still continues, you know, with SBI. And if you look at the way the SBI logo has been formed. So, uske piche bhi kahani hai ki NID ke kamat ne banaya tha wo logo. In fact, I want to clarify here, because a lot of people I have seen on Google or some on various WhatsApp messages ki SBI ka logo jo hai wo Kankariya Lake ka, agar aap Google map karo.
Haan.
एंड आप देखोगे कि कांकरिया लेक जो अहमदाबाद में है उसका बिल्कुल वेरी सिमिलर, एंड यू नो देयर आर सम स्टोरीज कि इट वाज इंस्पायर्ड बाय दैट, बट आई डोंट थिंक दैट इज रियली ट्रू, बिकॉज़ द एसबीआई आर्काइव्स डोंट मेंशन दैट, बट द लोगो देयर आर वेरियस इंटरप्रिटेशंस. जैसे लॉट ऑफ पीपल थिंक इट्स अ की होल, इट इज अ की टू माय सक्सेस, की टू माय वेल्थ. देन देयर इज अ लोगो कि द कॉमन मैन इज इन द सेंटर एंड द एसबीआई ब्रांचेस आर अराउंड इट टू हेल्प हिम. So it represents solidity, represents stability, it represents reach, and which is what SBI, I mean, those are the ethos by which SBI is going forward.
And its old logo was a banyan tree.
Banyan tree, because the wo RBI ka tha pehle, Imperial Bank ka bhi tha, ki banyan tree talks about Indian tradition, its roots and solidity. But SBI then wanted to show it as a while modern, but at the same time very solid in its representation.
Yeah. So, sir, like when this whole dawn of the new era comes for SBI, which is key from like presidency, it goes to Imperial. From Imperial, it becomes then SBI. So, correct. When it becomes SBI finally, what are the key changes we see? What are the key decisions this bank has to take now? So, can you talk about that?
See, one of the good things the Imperial Bank had done was creating of what is called as the probationary officer system. And even today, Jayesh, you would have seen ki aaj bhi lakho graduate jo hai, wo SBI ka jo PO ka exam hota hai, uske liye wo tayari karte hai, coaching classes. So the State Bank of India probationary officer system was created by Imperial Bank. Of course, that time they were taking only Britishers.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of JRD again was very much against the fact that Indians are not being taken into the bank as much as they should be. But the SBI probationary officer system became a backbone for the bank to create a very strong management expertise right from, you know, as a management trainee, the person joins and then becomes, most chairmen of SBI have joined as probationary officers for the bank.
Yeah.
And risen to the level of chairman and retired. So, they then started for the initial first few years, they were a couple of people were taken directly from either from the RBI or from the government. But R.K. Talwar, for example, had joined Imperial Bank as a professional officer, and he's one of the youngest chairmen at the age of 45. He was made the chairman of the State Bank. So State Bank has always been led by people who understood the bank extremely well. Even today, the SBI officers are rated very well by, when I talk to many of my friends in the banking industry, the training they offer, the kind of, so SBI created a lot of training colleges. They created agriculture related training colleges. They created, they had a training college in Hyderabad, which was the SBI Academy for professional officers. So a lot of focus was given on training these managers to understand what their job is, not just the banking, but what is their larger purpose for which SBI has been formed. And I think that has played an important role in growing. SBI was the first company to create, today many of my friends who are in the investment banking area, Jayesh, many of them started their careers with SBI Capital Markets, which is called SBI Caps. And SBI Caps led the IPOs, investment banking, consulting for a lot of companies for a very long period. So SBI Caps has created a lot of managers today who are leading large investment banking and other organizations in India. The SBI Capital Markets again was formed in the early 70s because they wanted to create a mechanism by which people can access capital markets. Similarly, today, if you see SBI, whether it's life insurance, credit cards, general insurance, or mutual fund, at least these four or five categories in banking, SBI Cards is a listed company now. But all others are part of the SBI itself, State Bank of India. And they all continue to be either number one or number two in their respective fields, which is really admirable for a size of and complexity of SBI. They continue to life insurance or credit card. They all continue to be number one or number two in their respective categories.
Got it. So, sir, like you mentioned some names here, people who have held a place in SBI at a very potential role, at a very important role. So, are there like people who have made SBI today what it is?
Oh, I think there are many, many chairmen, and probably I would not be able to name all of them. But let's look at the first chairman who became very popular, Ramesh Kumar Talwar. You know, R.K. Talwar was so popular and he got his second term, but then he had to resign. So there's a very interesting story behind that. In fact, D.N. Ghosh, N. Vagul, who was heading ICICI, talks about it in his memoirs, because he had joined, he was an SBI officer when Talwar was forced to resign. So Sanjay Gandhi ka ek dost tha, jo ek cement company ka owner tha, and he wanted loan from SBI, and Talwar refused, saying that it does not meet the criteria. So the government was pressurizing SBI, saying that you have to give the loan. So Talwar said, no, I'm sorry, we cannot give the loan. So the finance minister was asked to terminate Talwar. Kya usko nikal do? So the finance minister went back to the government and said, ki sir, ye possible nahi hai, because SBI has been formed by an SBI Act. So the finance minister does not have the powers to remove the chairman of SBI. Now, because Sanjay Gandhi is so upset and he wants to ensure that the loan is cleared, he went to the parliament and actually got the act amended. And then the finance minister again went back, but again, he doesn't have the courage to tell Talwar that I'm going to terminate you. So he's requesting Talwar, ki sir, aap resign kar lo ya leave pe chale jao. That is the kind of charisma such people carried. I've also written about somebody like O.P. Bhatt, who again transformed SBI when he came in the 80s. How to make SBI today, you know, you see a lot of memes about SBI. Ki, wo Vijay Mallya gaya bank mein, to usko ka lunch ke baad aao, to iske liye loan nahi mila. And things like that. You know, some of that could be partially true. I mean, after all, it's a very, very large bank. So I'm sure there are some quote unquote sarkari people. But O.P. Bhatt really transformed the bank when he realized that our people need to really become customer friendly. And he did a series of interventions to ensure that the bank really was customer oriented. Arundhati Bhattacharya, again, a very, you know, name, because first lady chairperson of a bank, again, she joined as a professional officer and she's risen to the level of a chairperson.
Yeah.
So the many, I mean, all most of the chairmen have come from the ranks, and because of which they carried not only the legacy but made significant changes to the way the bank. I was lucky to meet and talk to D.N. Ghosh, yeah. who was also involved in the bank nationalization. He was the joint secretary in Ministry of Finance when Indira Gandhi, wow. 1969, nationalized 14 banks. Hmm. You know, all this Canara Bank, Punjab National Bank, Vijaya Bank, many of the Bank of Baroda, you see, they were all private banks.
Yeah.
And they were nationalized in 1969 and 14 public sector banks were created.
Right.
So, D.N. Ghosh was also chairman of SBI. One of his main contributions was computerization of SBI. Okay. Or some major computerization was, there was a lot of reluctance. You know, you can imagine that people are thinking that my job will go. Now, in the bank, nobody is required. Everything is done by computers. And he was trying to explain to the employees that your job won't go. I think computerization will only help your job to become better. And today you see, I mean, everywhere nobody talks about it. Today it's on app and everything.
Yeah.
But those were some of the very so important changes led by people who were at the top, at the chairman, chairman's level.
Right.
Like O.P. Bhatt ne bada interesting kaam kiya ki pehle award ceremony hota tha. So award ceremony mein people are, you know, you go to some hotel or some large conference room and people are given awards. So
yeah.
O.P. Bhatt changed that and said, the chairman's bungalow on Malabar Hill is a fascinating piece of history. You know, it's called Dunedin. And it's a very beautiful bungalow with lovely gardens and fountains and you know, it's a very beautiful place. I've seen only photographs. I've not got the chance to visit that place yet. But what the chairman did was that he held this award ceremony in the chairman's bungalow.
Okay.
It was also an aspirational thing for people to say, ki, I have joined this bank. Mr. Bhatt joined as a professional officer. He's now staying in this bungalow. Maybe 25, 30 years from now, I can also be in this bungalow as a chairman and a resident.
Right.
You know, such things they did, which is very aspirational for people. And but more importantly, focusing on customer orientation and customer focus, I think it still continues to be a work in progress. But my sense is that they made a lot of progress in that.
Yeah. So, sir, when you mentioned ki computerization karna pada and he had to explain to people that your job won't go, I am very sure ki the younger audience who is watching this or listening to this, they would be shocked because for me also, like I'm late 90s kid and for me as well, this whole, we never got to see ki computerization exactly kaise hua tha and what was the people's reaction at that time. So, this is very fascinating.
If you have to visit a bank branch, and when I was in school and college in the 70s and 80s, if you go to a bank branch, after unke 3 baje wo business hours khatam ho jayenge, to uske baad 3-4 ghante, all the managers would sit because they have to update the ledgers, they have to update all the data of all the entries,
yeah.
and they would be sitting till 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the night. There's wow. a lot of manual work. You know, a bank manager was doing, even if he's working for a public sector, you know, and you can ask some of your friends, jinke parents, public sector bank mein kaam karte the, it was not a 9-to-5 job.
Hmm.
It was a 9-to-8 job. All these bank managers would sit till late, including the clerks.
Yeah.
They'll sit till late in the evening and manually sara ledger update ho raha hai, totaling ho raha hai, cash jama ho raha hai. You know, there's a lot of work they have to do at the back end. And all that with computerization, it helped to make that, you know, that is the time all these things like the RTGS and all those things got introduced. Pehle, a check used to take, you know, you're sending a check, wo clearing ke liye jayega, and then it'll take so many days. A lot of those things got then streamlined to make it much easier. So, bank managers, you know, in the 70s and 80s have worked very hard.
Right.
They have a lot of manual work they should.
Yeah. I can totally relate with it now because when you said ki it was a 9-to-8 job, kafi matlab hard work wala kaam tha because now we have computers. It doesn't seem that tough, but yeah, it was. And also sir, like for people like me who are late 90s kid, हमें तो scam 1992 के बारे में भी अब अच्छे से पता चल रहा है, but my parents knew about this. So when the that series came out, I used to keep asking them कि सच में इतना बड़ा कुछ हुआ था, what was the reaction of people. So and also you have also mentioned this scam वाला part in the book, so I would like you to go into that conversation as well, because the younger audience, they would love to listen to this.
Yes, in fact, the serial is wonderfully made and gives a lot of details. But let me tell a little bit about it. Harshad Mehta, you know, and this we're talking more about the capital market, because the capital markets were not really very strong at that point in time. A lot of paper transactions used to happen. You know, you used to buy shares, so aapko ek form fill up karna hai, then you have to give it to the broker will put it stamp.
Yeah.
The share certificates would come in physical form, fir wow, signature match nahi ho raha hai. So Harshad Mehta found a lot of loopholes in the system where he realized that people, of course, he was a very, very sharp investor. So he was investing based on, you know, to say, main fundamentals dekhta hun, I look at the company's, inherent strengths and then I'm buying. But then he started manipulating the markets. And it was easy for these traders to do that because a lot of those transactions are happening. All the transactions are happening on the Bombay Stock Exchange floor.
Yeah.
And the Bombay Stock Exchange floor is a mad place where, you know, you have all these signals, kharido, itna becho, all those hand signals and all that. It's very complex and a very, very fast moving and a high pressure floor. And this guy found a way, and what he essentially did was he was able to get a lot of money from banks without really giving any collateral behind that. And the banks are assuming that the paper I've got is enough to cover that. And he's rotating a lot of money within the banks and using that money to buy stocks, sell stocks and make profits out of it. When somebody really tried to stop that, it is where the whole thing collapsed. SBI in fact played a kind of an important role, and Suchita Dalal ki jo kitab hai jiske basis pe ye serial bhi banaya
hai,
she talks in great detail about that. SBI literally managed to save itself by getting it money back from Lindley's bank. But that's where Suchita Dalal realized that there is something going on. And then when she started investigating, this whole thing came out. So, and very unfortunately, if you look at it, and I'm talking again about capital market scams, not really about the banking. But just a few years after Harshad Mehta scam, you had the Ketan Parekh scam. And again, Ketan Parekh was a protege of Harshad Mehta, who had learned a lot of tricks from him. And he again did this, what is called as a pump and dump scheme. Ki aap ek share price ko teji se aage badao. You spread the news in the market that, you know, it's going up, so many people are buying, from 100 rupees, it goes to 200, 300, 500 rupees. And then this guy exits by selling off, and suddenly the whole thing falls and people are left holding shares at a very high price. Till SEBI really came about, you know, before that we had control of capital markets. Control of, then SEBI came in. So a lot of these scams have taken place because the capital markets in India was not as strong. The banking system was still quite robust. But we did not find the capital markets supporting that. There was one very interesting episode which some people have asked me. It's called the Nagarwala episode. It took place during Talwar's time. Ki bada interesting kahani hai, and this was during Talwar's time in the 60s. Ki, a phone call came to a Delhi branch ki main Prime Minister ka office se bol raha hun. And this was during the 71 Bangladesh war. And then he said, I am transferring the call to the Prime Minister. And this person mimicked Indira Gandhi's voice. And kaha ki hamara aadmi aayega, usko 60 lakh rupaye dene. And then this person told the man, you have to go to a particular place and there is a code word, aap kis desh ke ho? And he'll say, main Hindustan, aap kahoge main Hindustan ka ho? And he'll say, main Bangladesh ka ho. And this is the code word, and 60 lakhs was given to this person.
This has happened.
Now, luckily, by then this phone call is happening and they realize ki ye, we have been paid off 60 lakhs. It's a very big amount. Luckily, this person had the common sense and he had noted the car number, the taxi number,
राइट
इन विच दिस पर्सन हैड कम एंड फटाफट वो पुलिस वाले दे गॉट इनटू एक्शन एंड इवेंचुअली दिस नागरवाला वाज द पर्सन हु हैड कलेक्टेड द मनी वाज कॉट एंड देयर वाज अ सब इंस्पेक्टर हु वाज आल्सो फॉलोइंग दिस केस एंड he was the main person who did all that. Now, unfortunately, what happened, within an year, so SBI recovered the money, except for some 4,000 rupees, which was given to some person for the transaction.
Yeah.
Wo pure 60 lakh wapas aaye. So SBI recovered its money. There was no loss of cash.
Yeah.
The question was, what was this entire, you know, Prime Minister ke office se phone aa raha hai? What is it about? Now, unfortunately, within 1 year, Nagarwala and that sub-inspector both died.
Okay.
The main characters in this soap opera are dead. Now I was a few months back where two committees were formed later on to find what exactly happened. Aur aaj tak wo mystery resolve nahi hui ki ye kya scene tha, kisne 60 lakh rupaye mangaye the, kiske liye mangaye the, was it a political, you know, was it the opposition party playing some role? Was it really the Prime Minister who wanted to give it to somebody for Bangladesh war? What was it? It was never found.
And so both the that people who died, like, was it a natural death or like all of a sudden?
One died in mysterious circumstance, one died of heart attack. So, वहाँ पे भी question mark है कि actually क्या हुआ? And अभी 3-4 साल पहले, one of the persons who was associated with the case, he also died.
Okay.
So, that episode had never come out, and somebody asked me why have you not mentioned about it. Because I could not find any logical conclusion of what happened. But it was a very, very famous sort of a scam, you can say. But luckily, SBI did not lose any money, so they got the money back. But it was a lot of questions raised about during Talwar's time as to what had happened. And SBI then took a lot of effort, checks and balances to ensure that such a thing should not get repeated again.
Right. So this was something jo I don't think so a lot of people even know about this incident.
That's right.
Wow.
Kyunki 1971 ki baat hai, it's like, a few generations before you.
Yeah.
So hum bhi us samay chote the, but when I was researching for this book, I saw Talwar ka bahut lamba ek, unhone apne words mein iske bare mein describe kiya. Then I did a lot of research, but I could not really get any conclusive evidence to write further ki kya hua. So I left it at that, saying, this the episode took place, but nothing came out of it.
Yeah. So, sir, towards the end of this podcast, I want to discuss something very important now about SBI, because so when we look at the history of SBI, it starts from its very basic roots. It goes on to become a very important part of the nation. It becomes backbone of the nation. And then such scams happen, incidents happen that tarnish its image. How does SBI come back? Because अभी भी memes वगैरह तो बनी रहे उनके ऊपर.
See, this is a question a lot of people ask me कि आपने किताब में जो है SBI के NPS के बारे में या उनके बारे में आपने नहीं लिखा है. So I should have put that disclaimer upfront कि my idea of the book was really to write a story of the history of the bank. I was not
right.
I'm not a economist to sort of critique, not criticize, but critique, do a critical analysis of the working of SBI.
Yeah.
Two reasons. One, because I'm not an economist or I'm not critiquing it. And number two, a lot of ex-chairmen of SBI themselves have in their memoirs written in great detail about some of the scams or some of the NPAs. And yesterday somebody was asking, SBI ka itna loan? And now what happens is, if you look at the bank of a size of SBI, it would be either leading the consortium or be a part of the consortium of lenders whenever it comes to a very large project of, 40,000 crores, 50,000 crores or something like that. SBI would necessarily be one of the members, either leading it or being a part of it. So it is quite natural that any large project, by default, SBI in most cases would have been a lender, and there would be definitely repercussions that there would be some NPAs related to that. But while I'm not getting into the analysis, but if you look at a cursory, बहुत सारे न्यूज़पेपर आर्टिकल्स देखो तो पीपल लाइक पीएम बैंक लाइक पंजाब नेशनल बैंक एंड सम ऑफ द अदर पब्लिक सेक्टर बैंक्स हैव बीन पुल्ड अप देयर एग्जीक्यूटिव्स हैव बीन अंडर इन्वेस्टिगेशन you don't find that happening with SBI.
Yeah.
So there is, at least there seems to be some balance there. But frankly, Jayesh, I did not get into much details of it because, you know, when you read the book, you will find that there are such amazing anecdotes from the president.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't talk about how the Presidency Bank that time used to treat its customers, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they were so arrogant, they were so snooty, they were not bothered about a common man. जैसे मैंने बताया कि करंट अकाउंट खोलने के लिए 500 रुपए चाहिए।
500 रुपए खैर।
उस समय 1000 रुपए का नोट था। 1870s में, 1770 में भी 1000 रुपए का नोट था। You can imagine कि अगर 1000 रुपए का नोट है, तो कॉमन मैन तो कहीं से भी मिलो दूर उसके पास नहीं आ रहा है, क्योंकि वो तो उसकी तो पूरी 8-10 साल का इनकम भी उसका 1000 रुपए नहीं। So the banks were, so there are very interesting articles about how, you know, the presidency banks where there are HR policies. There are very interesting stories about how our poor employees were treated so badly. किसने बताया कलकत्ता में कि सर यहाँ पे हम कैंडल लगा के हम रात को काम कर रहे हैं, बिजली नहीं है, it's very risky. So the manager is answering the question saying, तो क्या फर्क पड़ता है, मतलब सब जगह ऐसे ही काम होता है.
Okay.
Things like that. So there are a lot of such stories I have given about the way, and a lot of businesses, how there's a very interesting angle about the entire Swadeshi movement. Ki early 20th century mein, the whole Swadeshi movement came about, which is where this Punjab National Bank, Canara Bank, and so many other banks emerged as a competition to the presidency banks.
Got it.
I was really covering two centuries of banking. So the critical analysis of SBI as a bank was not really the, you know, my thought, because I thought that there's so much to cover, so much of material about the fascinating history. Critique ke liye aur critical analysis ke liye bahut sare economists hain, business journalists hain jo bahut sare cheeze likhte hain, but this book is meant for, you know, any student of economics, banking or management to just know how banking evolved in India over two centuries. So that's what I'm really trying to cover.
Right. Because, sir, this is a good point that you raised, because when we look at the history of SBI, it is not just SBI's history. This is the whole history of banking system in India.
Banking.
And that is so fascinating. In fact,
you see, you know, it says two centuries of banking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, so, yes, you got that. Yeah.
So, like, I would really request people to buy this book and go through it. And it is a very easy read, because I finished it in 3 or 4 days. And the whole history is so beautiful, because कहाँ से चालू होता है, कहाँ पहुँचता है. In fact, पहली बात यही पता चलना कि it is a 2-century-old bank. वही सबसे बड़ी बात है. तो sir, this was a good book, like really good book. And any, like, you know, ending notes on, like, whatever you want to share about SBI.
एक मैंने किताब में भी लिखा था, तो पहली बार SBI ने राष्ट्रपति भवन के कॉम्प्लेक्स में ब्रांच खोली है, एंड द करंट रामनाथ कोविंद प्रेसिडेंट जो है उन्होंने भी अपना अकाउंट SBI में खोला. एंड इट गोज बैक टू से दैट SBI इज फ्रॉम द फर्स्ट सिटीजन टू अ कॉमन मैन. SBI इज फॉर एवरीवन, एंड द करंट चेयरमैन आंसर्ड इट nicely when he said the elephant is ready to dance. You know, so I think it's a very, very solid story. But more importantly, what I really enjoyed, Jayesh, was discovering the history of how banking in India evolved, and how from the Parsi businessman to the Calcutta businessman to the Swadeshi movement to private banks to Lala Lajpat Rai forming Punjab National Bank, so many such beautiful events which created the whole banking system in India. So it is more about that than it is called the SBI story. Actually, it's the banking story of India.
Exactly. So, sir, like before we end this episode, I would just show the book for everyone. So this is the book. And in fact, this is a hardcover, very beautifully designed book as well. I would request everyone to go out there, buy this book. You can find it on Amazon, Flipkart or your nearest bookstores. So many in fact, like there is Kitab Khana in Mumbai. So I went there and this book was there as well. So I was talking to the person over there and I told him, please buy this book. So thank you so much, sir, for doing this episode and bringing the story of SBI in front of everyone. This was such a फैसिनेटिंग पार्ट ऑफ आवर हिस्ट्री जो शायद किसी को पता नहीं है. तो कूडोस टू यू सर फॉर दैट एंड थैंक यू सो मच फॉर डूइंग दिस.
थैंक यू. थैंक यू. माय प्लेजर जयेश. थैंक यू वेरी मच.